The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, joining me is Orla Walsh, registered dietitian from Orla Walsh Nutrition. Orla, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you're not on TikTok.
No.
But you know what is.
I feel like I'm too old, but I know what it is. I am on Instagram and some of the others. But unfortunately, it's a social media site that a lot of people get a lot of their nutritional information from. And there was research on other social media sites showing that about 2% of what is on there, that nutritional advice people are receiving, is accurate. So 98% is plonk. Yes.
Okay. Give me some examples of the crazy things that people are being told they should do.
Yeah, one of my favorites was the 75 hard challenge. So for 75 days, you embark on the challenge where you have to do 245 workouts a day. One of them has to be outside, sticking to a strict diet for 75 days, drinking 4 liters of water and reading 10 pages of self-help book. And if you slip up, as they call it, you have to start again.
Oh, my God.
I know. What would you have to do wrong in order to have to do something
and
like that?
And what's the objective of the exercise after the hard challenge? What are you supposed to become?
I suppose a healthier. But
if you're doing 2 45-minute workouts every day, no matter what else you did, you'd probably be healthier and slimmer. No doubt, you know, using all that energy.
Yeah, but I suppose it's not time efficient. It's fairly hardcore. It does sound to me that, like, you would need to not have a job in order to achieve something like
this. An hour and a half of this exercise, plus reading a self-help book for 10 pages of it.
Yes. So I suppose I can see their logic. They're trying to get people moving. They're trying to get people to follow a healthier diet. They're trying to get people to improve. But I suppose it's, what happens? So if you fulfill those 75 days, what happens afterwards? You give up and you go back to your old ways. And that's why it always comes back to sustainable change. It's make one change that is healthier and keep it up. And as soon as that becomes the norm for you, start a new one. And that's how you walk towards a healthier person. Being a healthier person.
Now, looking at people, I presume they're Gen Z. I'm not sure, but I think they might be Gen Z. They almost would have to have the water bottle in their hand surgically removed.
Yes.
They go everywhere drinking water. Why?
We have a situation where the older population aren't drinking enough water and the younger population are drinking too much. And this 4 litres or 3 litres challenges that you see on TikTok as well is quite dangerous because it's just giving a certain amount of water regardless of what body size. So you're a tall man, you might need closer to 3 litres, but I'm much smaller and I need closer than 2. So our body size dictates how much water we need as well as our body composition. So our muscles is where they're kind of like the water reservoirs in our body, and they hold on to our water and store our water. So the more muscle you have, the more water people often need. And then the more you exercise, the more you need. The more you sweat, the more you need. And you'll notice yourself from even being on radio and talking a lot, the more you'll need around that time. So water requirements are very variable and different from one person to the next and different from one day to the next. So arbitrary numbers are unhelpful. And when they're possibly even dangerous. So if someone who was very small had 4 litres every day, that's a lot of pressure on their kidneys.
Now, what's 30-30-30?
30-30-30 is having 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes waking and then doing 30 minutes of low to moderate exercise in a bid to lose weight and hold on to your muscle. It sounds good, but there's no, when it comes to protein, there's no protein window. It's about getting enough protein per day, especially when it comes to building muscle mass. There are benefits from getting lots of protein at your meals because it can help with hunger and it can help with blood sugar control. But there isn't a window where you have to get protein in. And really when it comes to...
Someone just thought it sounds good.
And that's why that's why it was catchy. That's why it catched on. But resistance training is far more important than low to moderate intensity exercise when it comes to maintaining or building muscle.
Now, lettuce water.
Lettuce water. I actually gagged when I read this one. So you seep lettuce leaves in hot water and then you drink it down before bed in a bid to go to sleep, to sleep better, I suppose. There's no science behind it. It just sounds extremely grim.
Yuck.
It's again back to that sort of punishment routine that a lot of these TikTok messages are trying to get people to do.
Now, what good would a sleepy mocktail do me?
The sleepy mocktail, I included that one because I thought actually there's a bit of science in there. So the tart cherry juice that you put into the sleepy mocktail has been shown to help in terms of getting off to sleep and staying asleep, and even things like sleep duration and sleep quality.
And where would you find tart cherry juice?
Yeah, there's not that many brands, and we use it in sports a lot because it's used in recovery too. But another ingredient to that mocktail, other than ice and soda water, was magnesium. Now, they say a spoonful of magnesium. The thing is, with magnesium, there's different types, and some of them are simply a laxative. So if you put the wrong type into that cocktail or into that mocktail, you could have devastating consequences to that.
Some people will use a magnesium spray, for example, if they're short of magnesium, rather than take the internal one, which makes the tummy upset.
Yeah, so the likes of magnesium citrate and magnesium gliconate don't tend to upset the stomach as much as magnesium oxide. But when you look at the research on magnesium sleep, it's not as rock solid as people are making out. You'll see it all over social media. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying there's absence of evidence at the moment.
Now, if only 2% of this stuff is accurate and 98% has no kind of real backing to it, how many of them do we know might be doing you harm? Because if you're doing something that's just stupid and silly, that's fine, off you go. But if you're doing something that's harming you, that's a different matter.
I think I find most of it harming because it really contributes to the food noise that is in people's head. Most people know how to eat healthier. They know what a healthy diet is, but there's so much misinformation out there at the moment that even the simple task of having breakfast can be too much for people to decide what should be on their plate, what should be in their bowl. So I find a lot of these, especially the unqualified people out there giving advice, they do harm regardless of how silly their advice is. And that's why I encourage everyone to follow registered dietitians or qualified nutritionists. So nutritionists have a really hard time in that there's so many people in their space that are unqualified. So when it comes to someone who's calling themselves a nutritionist on social media, do ask, what are your qualifications? Because there's people, and they're gaining momentum on social media at the moment, and they're selling, you know,
it is all about selling.
It is about selling. It's about greed. It's about making money. And they're trying to sell concepts. So, for example, the new thing is to blame cortisol on everything, or to insinuate that if you change your diet, your hormones are going to be more balanced, or your, you know, gimmicks for blood sugar control, all of these sorts of things. So they're preying on you.
Yeah. Some things, though, have, like blood sugar control. Cinnamon is supposed to have a
Cinnamon does, and it's one of the herbs and spices that actually has the most evidence behind it, and there's a good amount of randomized controlled trials. And cinnamon is something that I often encourage people to include, especially if they like it, in the likes of their breakfast or in their meals, or even sprinkling it into their coffee. So it's not just on blood sugar control, but all sorts of metabolic health.
Now, there are some buzzwords, and people, once they see it, they think, oh, that's great. One of them would be high protein.
High protein, yes. I suppose we need enough protein, and once you get enough protein, you can't push any more protein into your muscles. And I suppose it's important to note that if you're getting too much of one thing, you're getting not enough of another. And for example, a lot of people who are over-focusing on protein are under-focusing on carbohydrate. And what happens in our body's super clever. If we're not getting enough carbohydrate to feed the brain, the body will take the protein that you're eating and turn it into carbohydrate to feed the brain. Or it will take the protein from your muscle mass and turn it into carbohydrate to feed the brain. So it is important to get enough of all the main food groups.
Now, what's in at the moment? I mean, the paleo diet, the Atkins diet, the keto diet, the Mediterranean diet, and then seeds. Tell me, I mean, far from seeds, we were reared.
It's far from seeds that we were reared. But there's some that I absolutely love, and they're a good idea to include regularly. If you have ground up pumpkin seeds or sunflower seeds, they're a really good source of magnesium. Any seeds that are kind of greenish would be a good source of magnesium. Chia seeds are wonderful. So they're high in soluble fiber, and it's a gel-like fiber, and it softens the stool. So it's helpful for those who have constipation. And it might help in terms of blood sugar management as well as cholesterol lowering properties. Linseed is excellent. So linseed, again, excellent for constipation, but has been shown to lower LDL cholesterol by up to 15% within a matter of weeks.
How did we manage without all of these?
I absolutely don't know. But I suppose when it comes to adding these foods into your diet, you have to be super careful. So the likes of pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, they might have 1 to 2 grams of fibre per serving. Not a big deal when you need 30 grams a day. But chia seeds and linseeds might have 10 grams of fibre per serving. So a third of your fibre requirements in one hit. So this can really upset.
Psyllium husks.
That can upset your stomach, so be careful. Psyllium husk is, again, used in constipation a lot. It does work, but it can cause bloating and distension in some people. That's why I prefer the linseed root or kiwis. Kiwis are excellent.
What are the Kardashians responsible for?
Oh, they're responsible for so, so much. But sometimes they promote things like teas that are supposed to make you slimmer, but really what they're doing is making you go to the toilet, and they're not just a laxative, they can have diuretic effects. So you're losing poo and water from your body and weighing less, but that's not fat loss.
Okay, so beware is the answer.
Beware, follow registered dietitians and ask the nutritionists you're following what are your qualifications, because there's lots of great qualified nutritionists out there.
Orla Walsh, registered dietitian from Orla Walsh Nutrition. Orla, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.